We are Dukes and Bell. It is a Friday in paradise. We are live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Randy McMichael's been nice enough to fill in for Carl today. We got a full house. We got listeners bringing us gifts.
Yes, I mean, but then my beautiful wife just walked up in here. But no, I'm going to make sure because this gift was given to me. But what I'm going to do, I am going to make sure that I put this in Carl's bag because Carl gets mad at me every time I just fill in.
Right.
And I would get because remember the first time Dan Eels came through with the first ever gift bags.
Yes.
And I was filling in that day.
And you got the swag.
And I got the swag and Carl did not. So I said, never again if I fill in for you, Carl. I will promise you that if I'm here. So if it's a bottle of liquor, it will be in.
We have the best listeners in the world. And I've never, I mean, I've been doing radio since I was 18. That's 30, wow, I'm getting old. 38 years I've been doing this. But it just never had more folks that bring us stuff. And we're supposed to give you stuff.
Spoiler.
We love you guys, man.
Yes, we do. Spoiler,
hey, man, we got plenty to talk about this hour. How are we going to beat the Commanders, man? Let's first off, first things first. We start every hour and every show with a big hearty,
hey, man.
That's it, baby. Hey, man, appreciate you, brother. Big Stu. Brother Stu just told Randy. Randy didn't realize. Stu's like, I knew Mike since he was working with Dusty Rhodes.
And he said, I said, working where? Like, were you like Dusty's, his manager walking down to the ring?
No, I wasn't like Jimmy King.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what first, when you said that, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, Mike worked with Dusty Rhodes.
It was in the old days. There's a network called Turner South.
Right.
I think now it's Peachtree TV, what it turned into. But yeah, our Dusty Rhodes and I did a pregame show for the Braves, and that's how I got my shot in TV.
Yeah.
And then Fox, Sandra Golden, talked to Fox and got me in the door at Fox Sports South. And then Dusty finds out that I've gone, damn it, Mike, you done Benedict Arnold. You just stabbed me in the back. You killed the golden goose. I don't know how much they're paying you per episode. I'm getting $5,000 a show.
Well, Dusty.
You done screwed. You screwed up. 15 minutes, $5,000. I don't know what that. I think I was making like a grand. But the thing is, Dusty was making a lot of loot.
Hell yeah.
And he was very unhappy that I walked across the street to make more than that doing TV for a minute. It was
I
fun.
I think I'd have been upset with you too, Mike.
Yes. But I will say this. The funniest thing, because Stu brought this up during the commercial break, is when Dusty would come sometimes pick me up, because I lived in Buckhead, to go down to then Turner Field to tape an interview with, you know, Smoltz or Sheffield or whoever. And so the voicemail would be like, hey, Mike, it's the dream. I'm about 15 minutes late. I'm on my way.
But I'm saying, like, that's the Mike of life.
Not you, Dusty. Not Virgil. His real name is Dream.
Because, you know, I love Dusty. I love Dusty Rhodes with the big the atomic elbow.
Oh, the Tower of Power. Sweet never foul.
Yeah, man. And, but every time you talk about it, I would say, because Buckhead, was this when you lived in Buckhead, right?
Yeah.
This is when you got thrown out, right?
No, that was the other. That was when I first moved here.
First moved here, okay.
When my girlfriend threw all my clothes out on Peachtree.
Yeah. Okay. I'm making sure. I got to get because Mike's lived everywhere and worked everywhere.
Yeah, that was a high rise right before you get into DeKalb County and Brookhaven.
Lived everywhere, worked everywhere.
Yeah, there was a telltale long brunette hair that was on the carpet,
Mike,
in the guest. What?
Dude.
The sunlight hit it.
No. What happened? Because you know.
My girlfriend at the time was blonde. She was,
yeah, exactly.
And so my excuse was, oh, that was the moving company guy had a ponytail. That didn't fly.
No.
So anyway, but enough about me. It is 5 o'clock here, and the Falcons have a must-win game. We heard the audio. You guys, Carl was on with you yesterday talking to Coach. How does Michael Penix Jr. handle the situation? We all know the limitations of the Giants, and they played complimentary football. The defense, Jesse Bates and Matthew Judon, that was unbelievable. I would have loved to have seen the receivers help him out. Randy, is there really a difference in how
they –
I mean, but we do know the ball comes out faster than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
Kirk's been struggling like crazy.
I think if you want to go there, fine. But don't give me that spin crap.
Don't give me the left-handed throw, right-handed throw.
Because that's one thing –
Roddy White and Algie Crumpler didn't have a problem.
No, they did not. And my boy, big don't used to show me that snatch that thing.
Right.
Boy. But no, I would say this is, it's going to come out fast. He got a stronger arm than Kirk. You know what I mean? But I think more than anything is that when you talk about this game, Mike, and we talked about earlier in the show about the stats of a first time starting quarterback going on the road this late in the year, making it like they don't have a lot of success. And the reason they don't have a lot of success because they don't play good around him.
Right.
Like, this team has got to play well. I still think Bijan's got to be somewhere 20-plus carries, Mike.
Right. Or how about this 35 altogether, him and Tyler?
Yes. But I'm talking about just the carry part, 22, 23, 7 catches.
Right.
Bijan's got to be the focal of this offense
because
that's when he takes the pressure off of him, and then you got to give him opportunities to throw the ball down. That was my only thing, and I think a lot of it had to do because of what the score was, that they kind of pulled back on the game plan a little bit. I want to see him take some shots. let them throw the ball down the field a little bit, you know, right. Because I know we talked about, you know, where they are as far as ranking, as far as run defense Commanders, as far as pass defense, because I think that people run on them more than they throw on them. I don't think it's this point where they got, oh, we got all these lockdown defenders and all this other. I don't think that's the case at all.
Right. And also now the thing with the Commanders is, you know, by virtue of where the Eagles are without Jalen Hurts, who's out in the concussion protocol, all of a sudden now, can the Cowboys beat the Eagles? And the Commanders all of a sudden.
The Cowboys are. No, CeeDee Lamb's out. They let this.
CeeDee Lamb is shut down for the season.
For the year.
We decided that we're not going to risk injury for CD at this point of the season. We're looking out for CD and also paying him a lot of money right now.
But anyway, no, but they're going to shut him down. It is a great question, though, because all of a sudden now the division's in play for the Commanders, potentially.
It is, and that's why they have a lot. I'm sorry, that win was so big for them last week.
Right.
It was so big for them because of what you just said, is that it gives them breathing room away from the Falcons in this game right here, because we know if the Falcons would have went there and won this game, they would have tiebreaker and all those things in any kind of wild card scenario if they don't win the South. But, no, this team is geared around that quarterback, the whole team, Mike, the whole team. That's how great of a young player he's. Now, they got some good players. Scary Terry's a problem. You know, he is a legit problem at the wide receiver
McLaurin.
Position. Yeah, he is a legit problem. And they got good play. Bobby Wagner is still playing. You know, he's playing like this late in his career. Remember London Fletcher? How many years he played?
Oh, great.
Played at a level?
Yes.
That's Bobby Wagner. And I think Wags might be playing a little bit better than London. London's my man, so I'm going to always go with him.
Right.
But I just think that you know, you saw the big play he made last week against Saquon. Saquon has a beat on the pass play.
Pow.
Knocks the ball out. But I think that, you know, when you look at this game, Michael Penix is going to have to play low. He's going to have to play better than he did this game. And he did not play bad. But I think that when we talk about playing bad, it's three touchdowns. Well, that's great. He has to throw three touchdowns this game.
Right.
No, but it's just a steady improvement.
Yeah, it's just tough, though, because and we looked at the Commanders' defense earlier. They are one of the worst teams in the NFL against the run. They're giving up 137 yards in a game, so that would play well. And you say, well, they're going to, you know, is Dan Quinn going to sit there and he's going to flood the box, move the safeties up, eight guys? Well, Michael Penix Jr., I know you're saying it's so completely different, masking the looks, try to throw some things he hasn't seen. But if Penix Jr. can get the ball out quickly, you know, and this also, you know, it's funny. We never talk about Zach Robinson. What's the Zach Robinson game plan? To your point, run the football, complimentary football with the defense.
Yes.
And then the other side of it is, let's be honest, guys, in our history, the Falcons are crap against a mobile quarterback.
Yes.
If we're honest. And last year, we lost the games that knocked us out of the playoffs because we couldn't stop quarterbacks that could move outside the pocket.
But the biggest thing about him, and I know we talked to Dave Arch last week, is the rush lane integrity. Like, you can't get above him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Give him those extra lanes to be able to escape. Because that was happening.
Maintain.
That's what happened on the big play that he had against the Eagles. But they had a kind of spy on him, but the spy made a miss. And that's always the thing about it, is when you have a spy or something, well,
if he's not there, now you just lost manpower.
Exactly. And you lost that. And they did a lot of that last weekend as far as Philly, because the kid can run. Now, he wants to throw the football. He doesn't want to run, but he will run it. The biggest thing that I noticed about this kid, he takes care of himself. He gets his ass down. I mean, he's a little frail dude, but he gets down.
And he's learned, because earlier in the year, you're worried about him because he's just so thin.
All the jukes and stuff.
But I saw the game against the Saints was a couple of weeks ago, where he can sit in a tight window. He'll move around. I mean, he can drop a dime in there. There was a stat. I think you and Carl talked about it yesterday. Carl's on vacay for a while. Randy's filling in live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. But the weight that A.J. Terrell has approached this year, his attack rate, quarterbacks are staying away from him. And I'm not trying to – I'll just play devil's advocate. Is that because the other corners are so easy to attack?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, actually, Mike. Now, A.J., I really do think A.J. this is his best season. He's playing really well.
Told him in Tampa Bay, I said, that was your best game. He didn't think it was. He said it wasn't.
Dude, I thought it was.
He was making plays. And he was hitting people, too.
But I think that the one thing about it is that a lot of times when you look at the higher quarterback ratings, you look at, okay, well, then if we can't attack him, let's attack the nickel. They're putting him inside a lot lately, too.
Right.
And so, I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to travel with Terry or nothing like that, but that would be my matchup.
Right.
I'm putting my best on their best, and then we go from there. Because if that's the case, it frees up so many things. It frees Jesse to roam. It frees different dudes like that. Because one thing about Jesse, dude, he is the master of disguise. And you saw it last week. I mean, just the same. Don't all his pick six look the same?
Like, it's just almost a bait. You're right.
It's just a bait, and he just waited.
Now you see me, now you don't.
Now you see me, and I'm going to jump it. He's going to do that. Jaden, still, as good as he is, still a young player that you might be able to bait into maybe throwing one of those interceptions.
I love it. Judon, of course, with a big tip. That was a huge moment last week. Falcons are underdogs on the road. Love Penix, what he did. You know, thought that, you know, again, I'm down in Florida losing my mind listening to this on the radio because I can't get my Fubo or my DirecTV or anything to work.
Do you have, like,
I'm the guy that can't stream anything.
Do you have, like, the thing where it, even I got this, Mike.
Right.
Where, you know, you might type in Fubo and it tells you your password. You just put your thumb pad
so
in there. And
because I was in Naples, they were only giving me local NFL. So I was getting the Commanders, Eagles. I wasn't getting Falcons and Giants. And so needless to say, a little upset. And then I had to go pay more money to DirecTV than have the app on my phone. And then I could watch anything.
You still got DirecTV, Mike?
That's right, Randy. I haven't cut the cord.
You're paying. You got the NFL.
Yeah, I get the sun. Don't get me started.
I'm not gonna do.
I know. It's hard, baby. It's hard. And the IRS won't let you write it off anymore.
No, they do not.
I've tried. Hey, everybody! It is Dukes and Bell with Randy Mack. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. A bunch of texts. A lot of guys feel that you know, this is going to be a really tough ask for Michael Penix Jr. just because of, you know, being so thrown so late in the game. Guys, I think he's gonna be fine. I would have put him in real quick. I know we got to catch a break. You could have put him in at halftime against the Chargers and just said, look, Kirk's having a bad day in the office. I want to give a check. And that's it. And you control the narrative, but they didn't do it.
But you don't do that right then and there, especially if you don't.
And it's a one-possession game.
Thank you. It's a one-possession game, and you still intended on Kirk being the starting quarterback.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You bring him in and Michael Penix balls, then you got another issue on your hand.
Right.
But it was a one-possession game. I think Michael's going to be fine.
All right, man.
I do.
We're live here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Randy's lovely wife is here. Of course, Randy's lovely wife, who got Randy into the missionary business in the Philippines, and he's about to leave Atlanta to minister to the many Philippines with Manny Pacquiao. It's the Randy Mac Pack Fund. More on that coming up. We'll come back, talk about the Red Hot Hawks, who pulled one out of their hanky last night with an unbelievable fourth quarter. Hey, man, the big story, of course, last night. Unbelievable cover-behind win for the Hawks against the Bulls in State Farm. But first, we have some breaking news that happened.
Man.
Just as we're going into commercial break, Randy Mack is in for Carl today, man, from Andy Randy. And sad news, Greg Gumbel passed away at age 78, from mostly known from CBS Sports and Fox. I mean, he's been everywhere. But working March Madness, working NFL, his play-by-play, as a studio host. And we've interviewed him a dozen times. One of the nicest guys ever. And I didn't know he was sick. A couple guys brought it up on Twitter. I tweeted it, saying that they pulled him off the broadcast. And maybe there's some health issues. Still don't have the cause of death just yet on Greg Gumbel at age 78.
That's what I was asking. I was like, isn't he still out there doing work and everything like that?
And being effective and likable as always.
One of the best in the business. Right. We know this. One of the best to ever do it. Hosting all those different things. We talk about the NCAA tourney and anything with CBS Sports. He was hosting all the football shows. So he's been around and done pretty much every avenue of a sports when you talk about doing hosting for TV. And I'm sure there were other things that he did when it comes to the business, man. But, yeah, that was a really sad story to see another one go down, man.
Just, again, such a good – there's so many guys in our business, and Randy can tell you, that are real chumps.
Yes.
And so it's – when you get a guy who's just an absolute sweetheart and a treasure, and he's – you know, James Brown is like that too.
Yes.
You know, James Brown over at Fox. Yes. Everybody loves him.
I love James. James got to do something with that hair.
But, yeah, well, that's a seven head. That head's going all the way. But getting back to Greg Gumbel passing away at age 78, we'll get more information on that. Also, real quick, before we get to the Hawks, the other story today is, you know, when you really, really screw up and you're not really doing much for your organization, you got to give a little something back. You got to cut that check.
Yep.
Well, Mike Norvell gave a bunch of money to the boosters at FSU.
Whatever.
That happened a few weeks ago. And this one, I'm surprised they just didn't rip the Band-Aid off. Deshaun Watson, a major restructuring, Randy, of his contract.
Yes.
And apparently going to be giving up, what do you think, 15%?
I'm trying to pull it up now to ensure that he'll be there. So basically what it is that he is restructuring so they can avoid the big cap hit that's coming up. And what people, the insiders, think that this is going to do is make basically – Deshaun Watson is going to be the starting quarterback, at least in Netla. He's going to be the quarterback. He's going to be on the roster for at least the next 2 years.
Well, we all knew it was going to be a crazy number. The deal, according to Sporting News, it doesn't change the $73 million
hit. This year coming
It would
up.
Be on this. Yeah, it'll be on the Browns salary for next season. Yeah. A future restructuring prior to next season could occur, but it just seems like, okay, he wants to make a go of it. It's the greatest bust in the history of NFL trades of all time.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing with it is, like, when he left Houston, obviously the whole – everything was around him and all the assaults and everything. But this dude was a top five playing quarterback.
Yes.
You know, that's why I was
no doubt.
Because
people forget how good he was. Remember, he had the injury the first year with the Texans.
Yes, this dude was a top five quarterback. Now, I personally don't think they had to give him a contract. I don't.
Right.
When they gave it to him, I don't. That's my opinion. But whatever, whatever. It's D and what's his other dude? What's her a dorky husband name? With Haslam's.
Oh, Jimmy Haslam.
Yeah. It's D and Jimmy.
Haslam, he ticked off all the NFL owners.
Yes.
Now, remember, guys, we dodged the bullet on this one because Arthur Blank wanted Deshaun Watson. Nobody wanted to take ownership of that deal. And basically, you alienate Matt Ryan, so you basically have to force Matt Ryan out maybe a year sooner than maybe you would have wanted to,
right.
Which gets us into the Marcus Mariota nonsense. But, Arthur or somebody, because, again, if Fontenot didn't want it, then where the hell did it come from?
Right.
We were at play. And then Jimmy Haslam, if you remember, Randy, like a poker game, pushed all the chips in the middle and gave the largest guaranteed contract in the history of the league that every owner wanted to strangle
him. They hated it. But that was the thing. He did it.
Jimmy Haslam did it.
Yeah, he did it.
Yes.
And that would made everybody even more mad because a lot of other stuff, you know, with the whole pilot.
He's a little shady. You can look up, they're going to give Jimmy Haslam in federal indictments and take a look at that.
A lot of stuff with that. But, I mean, you know, when you look at this team, that's why I think I know we were talking with B-Mac, and he was talking about Kevin O'Connor. Kevin Stefanski is a hell of a football coach.
Right.
Really good football coach. And I thought, you know, and I don't think Cleveland is going to move on from him. But if they did, he would be the top of my list for a damn Chicago job or something like that. That's how good of a football coach I think he is.
And by the way, for guys who are listening in their cars, not familiar with the story, this is going back years. You can look it up. Just Google Haslam federal indictment.
Yes.
The feds allege that Pilot and Flying J were engaging in fraud. They have these discounts for like truck fleets and for like long distance truckers.
Yes.
And apparently it was a fraud. They went on for more than 5 years, and they allege that Haslam was allegedly knew of the deception and the whole scheme. So that's what we're talking about. Just everybody's roped in.
There you go.
There's a footnote within a segment.
If you're a billionaire, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Right on.
That's what I say. They're billionaires for a reason.
You ain't lying, man. All right, on to our strong arm story of the day, and that is our Atlanta Hawks last night. What an unbelievable win. They're basically, as you'll hear Steve Holman, bang, they're dead in the water. Flatter, just dead. Nothing happening. Bob Rappin, I was watching some of the highlights today on TV. I got to tell you, like this Javon Carter, it's unbelievable.
Dude, who was this guy?
I don't know who he is.
Who was this guy?
Stinger, who is this guy?
But they were like, and I think, and I'm not sure, because, you know, they were all gone last night, so I was on a lot of that, they were trying to carry over from Chris's mic. As far as the liquid. And so, I don't know, they said, was he a – the Trey stopper, or did him and Trey not get along?
He was supposed to be a defensive piece. I mean,
because I know West Virginia and all that other thing. So that's why I thought. I was like, what? He's a what? Gumbel's family says he's passed away from cancer.
Cancer. Okay, we just found out Greg Gumbel succumbs to cancer, which may be an aggressive. We don't know, but at age 78, because we had not heard anything about it.
But the thing back to the Hawks is this: they're right there because of the fact that the Orlando Magic are banged up. They're still banged up. Still don't know when these guys. I thought Wagner. I think it was Wagner. One of them, whatever. He's out for an extended period of time. We know that. You know, Carroll's been hurt and everything. Mm-hmm. So they're 2.5 games behind them in the division. And then you look at where they got the Heat coming in tomorrow, 3:00, like Steve Cooney was saying.
Right.
And then obviously you half a game behind them. Who knows what's going on with that? They say Jimmy Butler saw this morning. He's still away from the team.
Yeah, and Pat Riley wants to dump him as soon as he can.
But Pat's not going to give Jimmy his way.
No.
And so you're talking about two Bulls sitting there.
Right.
Pat Riley and Jimmy.
Right. No one's going to budge.
Nobody's going to budge in this aspect right there.
Hey, man, last night they're down 21 at one point. They're down 17 to start the fourth quarter. They work it all the way up to 126-123 when this happened last night.
Now with five. It's stolen. The Hawks have it. They're down by three. Here comes Trae Young. Trae dribbles in the middle. Three-pointer, Trae. Bang! Trae Young has just tied the game. The Hawks have come from 21 down. 2:59 to go.
Unbelievable, man. And then this happened. Another steal and another dunk.
And now they're going to put it in. It's tipped, and it's stolen by Dyson Daniels. Dyson has it. Dyson stole the inbounds pass. He gets it to Clint Capella. Underneath, Jalen Johnson jams, and the Hawks have taken the lead. It's 128-126. Atlanta leading.
I have a question because you and Steve, y'all live in the same area. Obviously, you guys walk it off. When y'all are just hanging out, does he ever just like hit a jam sound or
no? He is
a bang.
Steve is so low key. So Steve's got a lovely dog. He's got Teddy, named after Teddy. Ted Williams, Teddy ball game.
Right.
And it's a little golden doodle who's adorable. You see the photos.
Right.
And so we get together down there. We go to RPM.
Yeah.
It's a great little indoor-outdoor. Not outdoor tonight. Too damn cold.
Hell no.
But a little spot down in Noonan. But no, Steve, just, you know, he's we decompress. There's no
right.
sports talk.
You know, I'm about to say, bang!
No, that is not what Steve's doing. But here is Steve with another great moment from Jalen Johnson. Now, again, you had everybody, Dyson Daniels and DeAndre Hunter, this new DeAndre Hunter 2.0. Everybody contributing. Here's another steal and another layup.
Outside, bounce pass, stolen. Jalen Johnson steals it. Jalen's going to break in. Jalen lays it up and around the rim and in. And Atlanta has taken a lead, 134-129. A minute 20 to go.
Just, I mean, great to see this team finish, Randy.
Yes.
You know, we've talked so much about in years past. We brought up the different things that have happened. Number one is Trey, trust the guys he's playing
yes.
with.
Yes, more importantly.
Trey doesn't have to worry about DeJounte Murray because that never worked, never fit, made no sense. And it's Trey's team. You're going to ride or die with Trey running the show.
Yeah, I mean.
And even like Reece Hoshea making like the dirty work plays, getting balls, you know, from diving in the stands, trying to keep things inbound, things like that.
The one thing about Trey is that Trey is, he's going to get his.
Right.
I think that's the biggest thing. He's an offensive juggernaut, but he wants to get these guys involved, give them that confidence, and that's what he's doing right now. I think, you know, just passing off the ball and trying, because he wasn't shooting the ball really well early on, Mike,
right.
And it seems like he's maybe getting closer and
closer. 3-point shots,
finding his stroke, you know, and so if that's the case, you stay with health, and we know Bogey's out, we know O's out right now, but eventually I think Bogey's might be more maintenance than anything, but it's Bogey, so you don't damn
right.
know. But I think that, you know, the way this team is playing, and we've talked about Jalen Johnson, his ascension, I think hit in today's, because of the way today's game is.
Right.
We talk about today's body part athlete or whatever you want to call it, as far as
that certain the wing, athletic wing,
he fits the mold a little bit.
Right.
And so you really hope that he can keep ascending his game. But as long as you got Trey, because Trey's going to feed him the ball. Trey's going to get them the ball. He's going to get them the ball. And the best thing of what Trey does a lot for his teammates is he gives them the ball where all they got to do is shoot it.
Right.
They don't got to do too much. You know, Clint sometimes.
Now, Clint, anything within 5 feet is about a 50-50 shot.
He eats a butt of popcorn before, you know, at halftime or something like that.
We were just talking about Clint. We love Clint. He's one of the nicest interviews. But the bunnies, man, the high percentage stuff, which flush it, man.
Just
don't put it, don't go off glass. Dunk it, man. Put it up.
Just dunk on him.
So I would love to see, and we brought this up with Steve, because Clint has an expiring contract. Let me ask you this real quick before we catch a break. Would you trade Bogey? If you could get somebody to take that cut, I mean, somebody would love to get a shooter, or you feel he will eventually. The law of averages says he'll stay healthy in the second half of the season.
I don't know, but there's one thing about what Bogey does is Bogey can shoot and score off the bench. And there's not a lot of
– got to be out there.
But then you got to find somebody to fill that void.
Right. I mean, you got to make the trade.
You know what I mean?
Got to make sense.
Yeah, it does.
Clint Capella misses more layups. The old saying goes, if I had a nickel for everyone he misses.
All right, now, I will say this. We do bring that up when we do have drinks down at
right.
RPM, down at Noonan. That's something that does come up from time to time. It is Randy and Mike today on Dukes of Bell. Appreciate Randy filling in today for Carl, man.
Wow.
Having a lot of fun today.
Yeah, we're looking at certain things. We're talking about privileged guys. I wonder if his wife's going to be his assistant coach. We found out that Mike Brown was a release from Doug Christie. Is expected to be the interim head coach. Is his wife going to be the
right? She runs his life.
She runs his life.
So Mr. Potato Head gets fired from Mr. Blank Blank Whipped on that one. Hey man, this hour of Dukes and Bell is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. It's happy hour now and every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 at B Dubs. We'll come back. Randy, is it that Oklahoma lost? It's a bad mark for the SEC today.
Oh, my God.
Georgia Tech is battling Vanderbilt right now. No, we don't. I'm being a Weisenheimer.
No. Because I saw and I thought about this. I was like, damn, I got to work with Mike Bell on Friday.
No.
And I know who they have on a Friday. And you know I'm not going to allow no dumb foolery to go on. But obviously, when I talked to Orrin yesterday, no, he's not coming on today. So we're good.
Hey, man, we'll come back. We're going to talk about the Dogs and the reason Georgia is going to beat Notre Dame. The quarterback don't need no Lamborghini.
Clint Capella has butterfingers.
Hey, man, Dukes and Bell with Randy Mack in for Carl today. Twin Peaks here in Kennesaw. Randy, is he fading? No, he's a professional. He's never done 5 hours before. He did it yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I did it yesterday. I've done 5 hours before, so it's not about the fading part about it.
Right.
It's just like, you know what? Damn, I would have been home by now.
See, I just sense a bit of orneriness.
No, I get ornery when people keep walking up and me talking smack about these damn fighting Irish and all that other crap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. It's hard if you're a Georgia fan to sit there, other than if past this prologue, Notre Dame will blow this game because the Irish always get overranked, over-advanced into the postseason. They usually get beat.
Yes.
And in some cases, they get beat like 1 year Manti Te'o.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's like.
But we would have beat Georgia with a
phony team with a phony girlfriend.
I was
there.
I mean,
the whole
shebang. Mike, we were all. I was in San Diego.
Right.
Watching this game. Watching the SEC championship game.
Right.
And sitting there talking to boys. We all, hey, what time y'all? We're going to meet down in Miami, right? Y'all were the day before the game, right? We're going to all fly down because we're going to beat the dog snot.
Right.
Out of Notre Dame.
Could you have told Todd Grant to maybe try to stop the run?
We're going to beat the dog snot out of Notre Dame. So we're all – and then Alabama beats us in the SEC Championship game. But, no, you know what? And I laugh all the time because of it. But
and that was Mark Richt's arguably – I still think the 07 team was
– 07 team was best team.
With Sean and Matthew Stafford. Yeah, but anyway,
But they were most talented, but they weren't, you know. But that was – that's only – I was like having fun with because you don't meet a lot of Notre Dame fans. Honestly, I don't. You don't meet a lot of them.
Right.
But, no, I just know the funny thing because now it's like, okay, we're talking about a bowl game where we talked earlier, Oklahoma had, how many kids opt out? We had 56 scholarship
players. They were down to like 55 players. This is Oklahoma.
You know what I'm saying?
Can you imagine that? I mean, imagine having this conversation 10 years ago.
Yes.
Unthinkable.
But then you try this narrative of saying something about the conference, and then because Oklahoma beat Alabama, so that's a shot at the SEC because Navy beat them, you are a dork.
All right.
You're a flat-out damn dork if you're trying to use that narrative.
Correct.
And again, and I don't get caught up in the
conference records and the
I don't give a
but now
what
more
did
than
Georgia
ever,
do?
But now
what
more,
did Georgia do?
Now more than ever, it's apples to pineapples because, you know, if you got 15 kids quit or 30 kids are gone in the transfer
that's
portal.
That's what I'm saying, but you don't want to bring that up. You just want to bring the title up and all that. That's why I said you're just a damn dork. And I don't care. You're going to argue with your mama if you don't think you're a dork.
By the way, Coach Venables goes forward for a two-point conversion with about 6 seconds left. Why not? You're 6-6 Oklahoma. They're now 6-7. Go Navy, beat Army. As Navy handles their business in the Military Bowl in Fort Worth, and they beat them. Georgia Tech, by the way, another field goal. They're down a point, 14-13. Commodores without Lionel Richie over Georgia Tech right now with about 5 minutes to go in the third.
And obviously
on the night shift.
It was. Okay, so that's what Brent Keyes. I know he's upset about something. Yes, you go throw the flag. Hope they throw a penalty on this.
Yeah, a guy's trying to catch a football, and a guy just basically tackled him about 2 seconds before the ball got there.
If I'm a head coach, I'm mad too.
I don't know much about the football rules, Randy, but that seems like interfering with the kick returner.
Yeah, it really does. Oh, and they did call a penalty. Mike, see, there it is right there. So he's upset. I would be upset too.
Unreal. Hey, man, by the way, Diego Pavia is still playing quarterback. He just signed an endorsement deal, NIL, with Depends. Because apparently he's going to be he's going to be around forever.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't – because I thought this when I was saying this about when Bill Belichick got – I said, Bill's going to – he's going to hit the JUCO and route and all those
He's
going
to run it like a pro team, basically, which is what it is.
He's going to get some guys where – because my biggest thing I want to see is when somebody skips class, I want to see how Bill handles the study hall situation. I want to see how Bill studies not going to class situation. You know, these are the things I want to see with Bill Belichick.
Right.
I want to see if he actually goes into these kids' houses and eat their pasta.
Let's be honest. In the old days, there would be some hullabaloo because somebody, the Jan Kemp nonsense, right? You know, a professor didn't give a passing grade. Now, we're not even talking about the academics are like fifth thing down far as what matters most right now in the semi-pro world of college football. Speaking of the dogs, man, we were talking earlier. It's a fun story. He's a rootable young man talking about Gunnar Stockton. But Randy and I were laughing because it's kind of become the narrative because he's the 180 of Carson Beck. The dog players seem to respond to him. They just seem to rally around this guy
because he ain't
got no fancy Lamborghini. Yeah. You know why, Randy? Because he's a simple man.
You said who? Okay,
Gunnar Stockton.
Go play it, Oren. Go ahead. Okay, now.
He's got a Ford. He's got a 40-year-old F-150. Don't even got no air conditioning.
Okay.
And that's the man you rally around, dog
fans. Okay, now, you said dog what?
Dog fans.
Okay, there you go.
Dog players.
No. Don't say dog players.
Dog players?
No.
Well, I did hear some comments about it. The energy is different when he gets in that game.
He's a damn backup quarterback. You started quarterback. quarterback's elbow is on the 50-yard line. Of course.
Did you not say that it was like a different energy and a different vibe?
It was. Yeah. It was, because now you're like, okay, because – no, quiet as a cat, they love this dude. They love this kid. He works hard and everything like that. And just like most – seems like a lot of Georgia quarterbacks, they're waiting their time to be able to be the starter. But, I mean – yeah, you got a new energy and everything like that, but I'm not going to sit there and say they respond to him better than they did Carson. You always respond to the backup quarterback who you're like, all right, he's in the game and everything. Carson wasn't playing. The offense wasn't even playing well. He came in, caught Texas off guard, bam, 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 touchdown.
Right.
You know, but, yeah, I'm not going to sit there and say the players like him better. I'll let you go with that old.
Well, the Dog Nation articles, I know you talked to Roddy DeBalzi last week, but they do seem like, and they would say the same thing if it was Carson Beck, but they do like the kid, the energy, the vibe.
They love Stetson and Suda. Remember that?
Georgia may never have that super-duper dual threat, rock star, Heisman Trophy. Who cares? As long as you're winning national championships.
Yeah.
It's the one thing which always seems to linger with Dog fans. Gunnar Stockton might be some of that Stetson Bennett magic, which folks are looking for. Nothing against Carson Beck. I thought that, let's be honest, Bobo's game plan against Alabama was way too aggressive throwing the football, and then the receivers did him no favors the rest of the way.
What do you think about this, though, Mike? Is like that's been that was the MO coming into the season. Like, you want to talk about, I thought that they leaned into Carson Beck, returning starter, all these experiences and all those there. I love the question you said, and oh God, it was so long ago, and you asked the question, you and Mike were talking, I was listening to the show, and you was like, what big game has Carson won?
Right.
You know, and I remember you said that, and I remember coming to the season, I thought, I still will go by this, like, I think Carson was pressing. I think Carson was trying so hard to live up to all the hype, the girlfriend and the Lambo and the money and all those different things that I really think
Heisman talk. He was considered.
Yeah.
You know, you could get 10-1 on him for the Heisman to start.
So
this
I think
season.
A lot of that had to go into what happened with Carson and not the guys dropping balls. The offensive line wasn't as good as I thought it would be.
Right.
You know, Tate Reynolds
and the injuries, lineup, guys out of position,
injuries and everybody. Right. So I mean, it was a whole lot that went around that and everything. That's why I think this is Kirby's best coaching job because he's dead. He's dragging, and he's all, and then you're trying to get this guy going and everybody going, but I hate to say that about him because he was a five-star quarterback, but I was like, is it the underdog effect? That's why everybody loved Stetson, and Carson will talk about what happened with Stetson, why he was replaced by Stetson after what was that kid's name?
The one from JT Daniels.
Yeah, after JT got hurt and everything, and so you always look at it like that standpoint, but. Yeah, I mean, Carson is if the lineage goes right by quarterbacks under Kirby, he's going to be starting quarterback in 2025.
And Carson,
the game is in 2025, Mike.
And Carson Beck is unfortunately in this no man's land because I don't know how the surgery works. We do know with the URL, kind of like what Brock Purdy had, it's going to the months that they're talking about, 3 to 4, keeps him out of the combine, keeps him out of the pro day, and then does a team draft him, but he'll never be a first or a second rounder. That's you're curious when they draft him because you're taking a guy coming off arm surgery.
Yes, and that's always
which killed Drew Brees to the point where they eventually fell to the Saints.
See, why do we have to do that?
Okay. Well, Randy could have had Drew Brees throwing him the football with the Dolphins. For those who don't know, it was unfortunately it was Nick Saban. It's more the general manager.
No,
they had a medical staff that said that Drew Brees was never going to be right, so they went with was it Leftwich?
No,
was it Byron Leftwich? Culpepper. Dante Culpepper. Yeah. Sorry, it was another bust. Sorry, Dante Culpepper.
Dante Culpepper was not a bust.
Well, he never delivered the goods.
But okay, so every quarterback in the first round that didn't win the championship, they're a bust?
Pretty much.
Oh, my damn. Oh, my damn, Mike.
Well, I mean, you get to the Hall of Fame, you get to a Super Bowl, be an MVP. He wasn't any of those.
No, but I don't mean he was a bust.
He had a cannon for an arm.
He was a baller in Minnesota. Then he got hurt. And then, you know, everything went the other way.
So the Dolphins rolled the dice on Dante Culpepper as opposed to Drew Brees.
Yes.
And New Orleans medical staff didn't have such, problems with it. And the rest is history.
Really?
Sean Payton. But then again, maybe Drew Brees goes to Nick Saban. Nothing happens.
All right.
You lived it. You tell me.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. But, but the thing about it is it was fate. That he went to that city because they rescued that. Remember?
Right.
Yeah, they went.
It was the feel good. We were the victims of it. The Falcons were literally the Washington Generals to the Harlem Globetrotters for like last decade.
Exactly. And
thanks
so,
to Drew Brees.
I mean, obviously, that was a big deal and big things like that. But no, I'm excited to watch Gunnar Stockton play. But I'm more curious, Mike. I think more curious than anything because you don't know.
Right.
And I think that, because of he was thrust into action. you know, at halftime of the SEC championship game that you had to do what you had to do. They were still able to run. He made a couple throws.
Right. He just made it. Seth throws just a panic throw when he throws the pick.
I don't know what the hell he was doing.
Nobody knows what that
Nobody knows what the hell he's doing. Because my thing is, why would you throw it all the way back that way?
Right, because there's nobody there.
There's nobody there. And so that's what you're sitting there like, whoa, Cowboys.
We're talking when he comes in, throws the pick, and the whether there's a progression, there's no receiver
there's
on that side.
There's nobody over there. That's
side of the hash mark.
Yeah. Right. And so but this goes back to something, and obviously we'll talk about it as we get ready to preview the Falcons one more segment. They got to do their jobs around to help them.
Right.
Because the one thing about Marcus Freeman – ain't going to sit back.
No.
I think Marcus Freeman is going to bring the house to this game.
Well, do you feel
I think so.
Is it you feel Trevor Etienne's the secret – not secret sauce, but yeah. Pressure. Yeah. I mean, take the pressure off of Trevor Etienne.
Yes.
You trust Frazier to stop fumbling the damn ball?
That was a big-ass fumble. But that's what we talk about Aaron Smith. As bad as he is catching the football. He made three big plays, and none of them were catches.
Right. That's and therein lies the conundrum.
He made three plays.
Yeah, I mean, Dylan Bell – you know, Arian Smith, as we like to say, do your freaking job, man. Catch the rock, dude. Hey, man, this hour of the show is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. As always, happy hour, Buffalo Wild Wings, guys. Get your butt over there, man, and enjoy some shenanigans now and every Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 at B-Dubs. We are hanging out here. Appreciate all the great crowd on a Friday where a lot of folks got the day off. Got some regulars. We got Stu over here. Stu's feeling good. I love you, man. Appreciate all the great listeners. We've got guys bringing us large quantities of tequila, which is always the greatest stocking stuffer of all. Randy.
Yeah, especially when Christmas is over, it's all yours.
And Randy is not taking Carl's gift.
I am not.
All right, Gordon, you're in charge.
Yes.
You know me, I'll drink it. So you're in charge.
I would not take it with me. Go put it in his mailbox and all of the things. Now, Tinker's sister made some goodies.
Oh, Mitch. So Tinker, one of our most loyal of all loyal listeners, it's a red velvet cake, candy bar thing, which is unbelievable,
man. Carl, it'll be too long before Carl gets to these. So.
Yeah, you know,
I'm going to take
these. Those are perishable.
Yeah, I'm going to take these.
The liquor that's sealed is a non-perishable item. Hey, man, we're hanging out here until 7 o'clock. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the headlines. We got some tragic news from the world of TV sports. We talked about it earlier. For guys in their car, we'll explain. And coming up at 6:20, Bryant McFadden on the pressure on Michael Penix Jr. How do we try to stop Jaden Daniels and the Commanders? It's all coming up in the 6 o'clock hour.